Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge listeners who care about, or care for, or may themselves have become someone with a disability. We begin our interviews with a few minutes with our medical striker in Ross Memorial Hospital in Lindsay, Brian Wood, and his progress with multiple disabilities and his search for housing. Brian?
What's new at the hospital?
Oh, not too much. I'm still twiddling my thumbs and waiting to get out of here, and still haven't found a place to live, which is the big holdup.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just this thing with the not having a place to call home is really depressing.
Yeah.
The last few days have been really down the dumps.
Yeah?
Which I don't mind admitting, because I am.
There's
no question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I would feel better health-wise if I was someplace where I could say, oh, I'm home.
Yep.
When Steve and I are out, and it's at the end of our trip or whatever, I'll say, oh, I guess you better get me home. And I'll say, oh, no, sorry about that. I guess you better get me back to the hospital. It's just after 13 weeks that there's no place out there that I can call home.
Well, there's no process. That's the problem. There's no process.
I was thinking to myself yesterday when I was out in the back courtyard, which is a lovely area of gardens and whatnot, in the new section of the hospital, that I can understand why people commit suicide because their backs are finally pushed to the wall.
Yeah.
And they just have no place else to go. They just give up. And then I found out on Friday they're going to be moving me from my room here on the medical floor to continuing care, which is a euphemism for the extended care, palliative care, rehabilitation unit here at the Ross Memorial, which means I'll be being lumped in with a bunch of people who are waiting for the nursing home spaces and who are at death's door. And, probably about 20 to 30 years older than myself.
Right.
But they don't consider that I'm now an active acute medical case. So they're going to move me downstairs to the first floor into this other area. See, there is housing out here that's available. In my, actually, I had four leads from the John Howard Society last week for bachelor apartments in homes, but they can't take the stairs.
Yeah.
So other than that, nothing's changed as far as college goes. I haven't been able to start my course yet.
No.
And I guess I'm going to have to be looking at probably waiting to January to start that, because they can't assess me for the scooter till I'm in a residence. They won't do the assessment for the occupational therapy for the ADP assistive devices program assistance, financial assistance, until you're at home. They won't do it in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I can't get my computer hooked up in the hospital, so I can't do homework. So I understand.
Too bad you couldn't get a laptop or something, eh?
Yeah, well. I don't know why, but there's no place to plug it in anyway.
Really?
To the internet here, not in the hospital.
Okay.
So I'm about 14 assignments behind already, so there's no way I'd catch up now. Even if I was set up tomorrow and could start on Wednesday, there's no way I'd be able to get going. I'm going to have to wait to January, I guess, to start it.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but nothing I can do about it.
Okay.
As if I'm still alive by then, who knows?
Yeah. How's the bone marrow thing coming? It's still just a waiting game?
Well, no, I actually had an infusion of that.
Of bone marrow?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And they've had some fairly good results on it counts on blood cells.
That's good news.
And, you know, that was uplifting news. But then they discovered two spots on my liver.
Yes.
Which could be cancerous, or not sure yet. At least it's not cirrhosis of the liver, because if it was, I wished I'd been drinking all my life, then I wouldn't have a reason to have it.
Okay.
It's funny, because I met a gentleman here who had just gone home the other day, and he had put on 20 pounds in a week.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't figure out why, and he came into the hospital here, and it was because his liver was retaining fluid because he's got cirrhosis of the liver.
Oh. And he didn't know?
He admitted to me one day outside that he was drinking a 40-ouncer of booze a day for years.
Right.
So he said, I can understand why I have it, but at least they've caught it now so that he should be able to recover from it. In fact, Steve and I dropped in and saw him on Saturday for a few minutes.
Okay.
We went for a drive in the country just to get out of town for a while.
Right.
And he and his wife are doing fine, so.
Well, that's good news about the bone marrow. I'm glad they found a match. I'm glad they treated it. When are you going to find out about the liver?
They'll be doing some work tomorrow on it. I don't know how long that'll take. They're going to do a biopsy, and they've done a couple of one nuclear scan as well as a couple of ultrasounds, and then they're going to do a biopsy tomorrow morning.
Right.
And pull a piece of it out, I guess, with whatever they use.
Yeah.
And take it from there.
Yeah, I don't imagine it'll be a lot of fun.
No. Just it seems to be one kicking in after the other.
Well, so far you're one for one, yeah. Except for the housing.
Right.
Which is an amazing record. What's going on with your lungs?
So far I'm holding my own there.
In what
nothing
way?
In as far as nothing has developed, it's worsening. And if, I don't know if I can say there's anything clearing up, but nothing has gotten worse. So.
Is there a treatment happening?
Just pellets, the radioactive pellets.
All right.
Are proving very successful in me, because I have one in my left eye, which stopped the eye cancer from moving into the brain.
Oh, good.
So I seem, my system seems to be receptive to the pellet, a radioactive pellet treatment. So.
All right.
That may be what they end up doing with the liver, too.
Okay. Which
be good.
All right.
I haven't lost any more toes yet. But I have been having trouble with the left foot the last couple of days. But
what trouble?
Oh, just a lot of pain, which I don't normally have. So if there's something up there, I don't know what.
Yeah.
They discovered last week I have what's called osteomyelitis in the left foot.
What's that?
That's an infection of the actual bone itself.
Ouch.
As opposed to the bone marrow.
Oh.
And it causes the bone to overproduce bone.
Oh.
Into thin layers, like wafer layers.
Right.
So they treat that with antibiotics as well.
Oh, okay.
But sometimes I can get very low, so I understand why people do.
Oh, and antibiotics. I mean, yeah, you could get low. I mean, that changes your whole digestive tract, and that changes your whole system's response to your environment.
For sure. And, you know, when you're not sleeping at night, you get tired, and you get more and more tired. You get bored, because there's nothing to do here.
Yeah.
At all. Steve's away at school all day, Monday to Friday, pretty long. If they're going to move to this continuing care unit, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That'll even be more depressing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. When does that happen?
Sometime this week, probably maybe tomorrow or Wednesday it might happen, I'm not sure. Yeah, so that's about it for now.
Man, I'm glad to hear of your success with the bone marrow
and the
radiology treatments for the lungs.
Yeah.
Let's hope for progress on the housing front.
Oh, that would certainly pick up my spirits, and if your spirits are up, you're able to fight an illness a lot better when you're feeling up about it.
Okay. All right. Good
thanks
to talk to you again.
For listening.
All right.
You take care.
Talk again.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And now we'll take a short break with the blues.
You running around day and night, cause I'm in love with you, baby. Yes, I'm in love with you, baby. You know I'm in love with you, baby. And I just can't help myself. I told you once, woman. I told you twice. Please don't run around. I want you to be my wife, cause I'm in love. Woman, back to cry. You think I'm leaving, baby, but I'm loving all the time. Cause I'm in love with you, baby. Yes, I'm in love with you, baby. You know I'm in love with you, baby. And I just can't help myself. I'm in love.
And now, return to our interview.
We welcome Dr. Peter Cox, the Clinical Director of Critical Care Unit at Sick Children's Hospital in Toronto, to the show. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. I may be called to a patient in the interim, just so you know.
I'm certainly willing to give the priority to the patient.
Sure. Or not willing. That's what will happen.
All right.
They come first.
We're talking to you today because of an article in the Globe and Mail by Lisa Priest about the price of a life-saving drug to treat blue baby syndrome going up and hospitals not knowing how they are going to afford it. Is this true?
It's absolutely true. In fact, the price increase is going to range from somewhere between 10 and 15 times what we currently pay to deliver the nitric oxide to babies in our intensive care units across Canada. It's the delivery of the gas from the tank to the patient. So just to make sure we're using the same delivery in the same word.
All right. Its use was pioneered in Canada. What was it used for?
Well, to take a step back, nitric oxide is actually available in the atmosphere, but it was discovered some years ago to act on the smooth muscle of blood vessels.
Right.
In other words, if blood vessels are going to spasm and have a very high pressure in them, this drug will relax them as a gas. And it was used primarily in little babies to start off with, who had something called pulmonary hypertension as a newborn.
Right.
In other words, their blood pressure in their lungs is very high. So if you give them nitric oxide to breathe, mixed with oxygen, that relaxes the blood vessels in their lungs, and in fact, they immediately show a good response.
Well, they get more blood, so they get more oxygen.
They get more blood, and they get more oxygen, and they're no longer a blue.
All right. And for anyone who may not understand what you're talking about, the smooth muscle is the muscle that lines the inside wall of the blood vessels, correct?
The blood vessels, correct.
How has its supply been restricted? You've mentioned the dollar cost has gone up. What mechanism has brought this about? Can you clarify any of that?
Well, in fact, its price increase has really been in two phases. The one was some years ago when we went from using industrial nitric oxide, which is in fact very pure, to having a requirement to use medicinal grade nitric oxide, and that was an increase from about $30 to $300 a day.
Right.
Once we did that, we actually became more sophisticated in the way that we delivered the drug and how we measured how much the little kids were getting. But then we were only able to buy this drug under something called the Special Access Program.
And this itself was a tenfold increase in the cost to you?
That's correct. It was from $30 to about $300.
Right.
So once you can get it under the Special Access Program, it means we have to apply to Health Canada,
mm-hmm.
who then will get us a permit to get the drug and deliver it to patients.
Mm-hmm.
And this applies to many drugs, not just nitric oxide. However, once they give a drug identification number, a DIN, to a company, then no longer can you get the drug through the Special Access Program. What has happened in the case of nitric oxide is that a company from the United States called INO Therapeutics had applied to Health Canada for a DIN. And this took some time to come through, but once it was finally granted, which was a couple of weeks ago, that gave them the monopoly to sell this gas in Canada, throughout the country, at a price that they've determined.
And the previous suppliers did not apply for a DIN and were shut out?
There was a legal agreement, which I'm not really in a position to comment on, between the previous supplier
mm-hmm.
and INO Therapeutics. So
essentially,
they were shut out.
So they had an agreement with INO, but
to their liking, but
some kind of agreement,
based
understanding.
Based on a law settlement in the United States.
Okay, and now INO is the sole supplier because they've been awarded the DIN by Health Canada.
Correct.
This means a tenfold increase again in the
Absolutely.
Price.
Absolutely. What we're looking at now is a cost of about $2,000 to $2,500 a day.
As opposed to
currently $300.
Okay. From $30 to $300 and now to $2,300.
Yeah.
What does this mean for the children and the parents?
Well, we as physicians and nurses and RTs looking after these little kids will want to continue to supply this gas.
Mm-hmm.
So what it means to little kids and their parents is probably something that they won't see. More importantly, it is what it means to the hospital budgets.
All right.
And just to put that in perspective, in our intensive care unit here at the Hospital for Sick Children in Toronto, we have about 1,800 kids come through a year.
Right.
And our total drug budget to look after all of those children, and that's in a pretty sophisticated intensive care unit, is about $1 million. Last year, 160-odd children were treated with nitric oxide.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost to our intensive care unit, if all of this goes through, or when we get the bill, will be more than our total drug budget for all of the children that come through our intensive care unit. So it's going to be between $1 and $1.5 million a year.
I see. So it's a real threat. It's a real challenge to the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
Not just through this treatment, but it's a challenge to the treatment of all the patients in the hospital.
Yep, because it'll if you've got to take from Peter to pay Paul, you could be in trouble.
Now, this is an American company. You may not want to get into this, but is it possible there's been political involvement here?
I wouldn't be in a position to comment on that.
Okay. All right. INO specifies that their costs don't fairly compare with the previous costs because they also supply the delivery.
It's the delivery of the gas from the tank to the patient. So just to make sure we're using the same delivery in the same words, I agree with their statements that their costs don't apply fairly to the previous supplier. Their costs, I think, are totally unfair.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have delivery systems. We have very accurate monitors. We don't need another delivery system to come from anybody. We just need a tank of gas.
And you're restricted with the delivery system here as well?
Once you go to INO Therapeutics, you have no other way to deliver the gas but with their system.
Right.
So they've made it mandatory that in this country, should there, unless there's another intervention in the near future, we will be in a position where we have no choice but to use their gas and their delivery system at a cost that they dictate.
I see. I understand this was something of an issue in Europe, but it had a different outcome there.
Absolutely, it had a different outcome. And in Europe, there was another company that initially, in fact, I think was working with INO Therapeutics, but soon recognized that that may not be to their advantage.
Right.
And so they chose to challenge the monopoly of INO Therapeutics in Europe. And to the best of my knowledge, the outcome of this was successful and in their favor.
So the suppliers in Europe took the initiative, and the challenge went in their favor.
Correct.
In Canada, INO took the initiative, and it went against the suppliers who you had
Nobody
used.
Nobody challenged INO in Canada.
Right.
So the difference was that there was a challenge in Europe, and in Canada there was no challenge.
So I guess that the buyers of this gas, the hospitals, are hoping for a challenge so that they can continue to deliver this substance and the full spectrum of care for their budgets to their
Correct.
Children. Yeah. Is this, for me, this seems a new phenomenon that doctors are increasingly called to advocate, even politically in a small p sense, for the, and health is always, in Canada, is always a small p political issue. Doctors are called increasingly to advocate for their patients. This is, for someone who probably works 12, 14, 16-hour days some days, and has the lives of, you mentioned, in critical care, what? Over 160 babies in their care at any given time, it's quite an added burden, is it not?
Yes, but it goes with what you want to do for your patients, which is you want to do the best thing for them. But I think that we, as physicians and healthcare workers, also have a fiscal responsibility to make sure that what we do is not only good for the individual patients, but is good for all.
Good for all the patients?
Good for all the patients, and thereby good for the population.
I see.
It's an extension.
Right. So you've been put between the rock and the hard place with this pricing change.
Yeah, and that's one of many that hospitals face. Many challenges like this.
I see.
You have to make choices.
What do you see as the outcome?
Well, I would hope that we would be able to find a company that would be prepared to challenge.
Right.
Whether or not that would happen in a timely fashion, I can't answer. But, you know, we may well run out of the gas that we have in our stock.
Right.
And be forced to use INO Therapeutics against our wishes.
Right. One of the questions this interview is going to raise is it possible for babies to be disabled? And if you can't breathe, it strikes me that you probably are.
Is it possible for babies to
be
what?
Considered as disabled. And if you can't breathe, you probably could be. Are there no rights that attach to the babies that would override the plotting of a legal system here? and I'm not calling you to account here, but it strikes me that, as you say, this is a case for rapid and efficient intervention, and yet there doesn't seem to be a mechanism.
I think you could apply the same argument to any patient in the hospital, that they're disabled. And we're faced with dramatically increasing prices of drugs all the time.
Yeah.
And in some cases, as you're well aware, there was a case recently for the use of an anti-cancer drug where it was finally somebody backed off and the patient was able to get it. But again, in that case, you've got to ask whether that's responsible for the patient, for the population at home, at whole.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's very good for the individual patient
mm-hmm.
if it works.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything works.
Mm-hmm.
Some things that are said to work don't work, and they're extremely expensive. So you have to balance all of these things up.
Yeah.
And they're very difficult sometimes to find the right balance.
So it's a complex medical issue, and that makes rapid intervention a difficult thing.
Correct. However, we do know in the case of nitric oxide, we have good data. I'm starting off from studies done in Canada a couple of decades ago, that what nitric oxide does and how it does it and how effective it is. And we also know that we've been able to keep many children who would have needed far more aggressive forms of support off that support with the use of nitric oxide.
So let me interpret what you're saying is that if the hypertension isn't treated, then complications ensue and they require more aggressive treatments.
Correct.
I see. Well, I wish you luck in your campaign. I can't imagine the conflict that will follow if you are forced to double your budget for the price of one drug, and then a precedent is set for drug pricing and drug availability for hospitals in Canada and for children.
Yep, big challenges.
I appreciate your time on the phone with me today. Is there anything that you particular wanted to add to the interview before we go?
No, I think you've covered most of the points, Jeff.
All right. Thank you for your time.
That's a great pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
For those concerned with healthcare, a presentation coming October 17th, the Monday evening. The P3s are coming. Stop the privatization of Hamilton's hospitals. A public referendum is happening in November. At this presentation, the Ontario Health Coalition has brought together Natalie Mera from the coalition, Murray Dobbin, a Vancouver journalist, author, and media commentator, who's been a columnist for the Financial Post and the Winnipeg Free Press, and Dr. Gordon Guyatt, McMaster's own advocate to put the care in healthcare. There's no charge. Information, 905-383-7693, and that's Monday, October 17th, 7 p.m. at the McMaster Health Sciences, room 1A6. That's Monday, October 17th, 7 p.m., McMaster Health Sciences, room 1A6. 905-383-7693. For those who are concerned about privatization of hospitals. At the break, you heard the late, great Otis Spann. I'm in love with you, baby. Chess Blues Piano Greats, Volume 2. Coming up, Big Joe Duskin and Beat Me Daddy, 8 to the Bar. From Down the Road a Piece.
That didn't go along so good with it, so they thought they'd make the Pine Tops Boogie Woogie bass with it. It went like this. That didn't go so long good with it, so Freddie Slykes got a hold to it, and he made the bass like this, which was 8 count. Thank you. honky-tonky village in Texas. As a cow play the best piano by far. He can play piano any way that you like it, but the way you like it best is they that they bar. Oh, when he jams at the bar, he is the daddy of them all. The people gather around when he gets on the stand, and when he plays, he really gets a hand. And when he plays, he put the cats in his plan.
Disrespect asks you to send us your requests for topics about disability discrimination, and we will air those topics in our interviews. Send your suggestion to radio.stories@gmail.com, radio.stories@gmail.com. Disrespect's interviews are digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.